It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4 to 1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
That deadline is a week from tomorrow. House Republicans working on multiple fronts to try and keep the government open and to fulfill the president's request for a $5 billion border wall package. Lawmakers on the Hill are now realizing the president is very serious about this.
It looks to me like he's serious as four heart attacks and a stroke. I mean, he's not bluffing. If I were playing poker with him right now and I didn't have the cards, I'd fold.
Now, one vehicle House Republicans are crafting is a short-term spending bill. It would have the $5 billion in funding for the wall. It would fund other federal agencies into January and provide billions in aid after the wildfires in the West. Now, if they go this route, they could vote as early as today and pass with Republican-only votes. But its fate in the Senate, uncertain. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer blasting again the president's wall as a campaign pledge, predicting failure.
President Trump will soon realize that his position will not result in a wall, but will result in a Trump shutdown. He seems to relish the idea, amazingly enough.
Meanwhile, less noticed, the Border Patrol's chief, Carla Provost, was on the Hill yesterday telling senators they have arrested more than 800 gang members at the border this year, an increase of more than 50% from last year, guys.
All right, Griff Jenkins this morning on Fox News. Sandy Rios with you this morning. And if I think, honestly, this is the most important issue for us to talk about today, so I want to do that. The southern border continues to be under assault. Of course, a lot of the migrants in this particular invasion have returned home. That's true, but not all of them. And trust me, if things don't end well, if we do not secure our border, there will be thousands more following them, and they will not be, we'll not be able to stop them under a democratically led House and a Senate, a divided government that doesn't want to do anything. They haven't wanted to do anything before this. But at least you could bring the Republicans along kicking and screaming on some of these things. And I think things are really tensing up, as Griff just described. In fact, I'm watching my inbox this morning, and as things develop this morning, I'll let you know. Let me just cut to the chase. This morning, if you're wondering what you can do about this, you know, what can I do? We've had this fight before. We've had it so many times. Could I remind you, I thought of this yesterday. No, I guess I wasn't on the air yesterday, maybe the day before. When a soldier is in battle and they're trying to take a wall or take a city, just because they fail doesn't mean they don't try again. I mean, they are determined. They are determined to win a battle. And that's what we have to be. And so if you are determined to help President Trump and those good Republicans that are fighting for you in the House of Representatives and a few in the Senate, then you can do this. Go to buildwallnow.org and sign a petition. Buildwallnow.org and sign that petition. That's something, that's one thing that you can do. We'll put that web address on our Facebook page so that you can recall it and share it. It's buildwallnow.org. There are people, of course, on the southern border that are experiencing the real hazards of what's taking place. There's a web, not a website, but there's sort of an exchange. And I think it's a private exchange, but I was sent some of the exchanges by someone on the inside of that. And this is one of them. Today we had an illegal with an infant that climbed over the fence in Campo, dropped the baby, who then needed to be sent on life flight out of here. There are local reports of people. Our young adults are being approached in an attempt to carjack or hijack them and their vehicles for transportation. Where are the National Guard? Here's another one. It says the rumor has it that there's a horrible accident, and it was a result of being carjacked. A gal that works at the Green Store on 94 was approached by travelers wanting her car, but she floored it, definitely at a higher level of awareness. The time is bad, considering that the Democrats have put in a restriction of ammo purchases in California. in their messed up desire for open borders. So my friend is saying gun owners have become so restricted in California that they don't feel they don't have the ammunition to defend themselves. And so the tension is really building on people that live on those borders and are actually living this and watching it. There's a small, I don't know where this is exactly. These are Facebook posts on this private Facebook. Solid group of people living a stone's throw away from the border, watching the invasion literally from their front porches. Quiet border communities whose biggest concern was the neighbor's cow showing up in their pasture and how long it should take to find the hole in the fence. It's a peaceful community, and now they lie awake at night wondering what they will find in their fields when they wake in the morning or whether or not their kids will come home from school alive. And so these are serious concerns, not the least of which are all the others we've talked about, the financial concerns, whether the economy, which is now at $22 million in debt, can sustain the care of unlimited amounts of illegal immigrants entering the country. There's one thing I want to zero in on today because, by the way, the Freedom Caucus is calling for GOP leadership to include $5 billion in wall funding in this must-pass spending bill. They have to fund the government, so they're saying put that in the must-pass bill. They're also asking for catch and release to be eliminating catch and release to be placed in the bill. So that's at least a portion of what the Freedom Caucus is doing. All right, President Trump, as you know, met in the Oval Office with Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. And you've probably heard excerpts from it. They went into the Oval I don't know if it was the Oval Office. It was one of the rooms along the side of the president's office. And they were supposed to be talking about the border and how to reach some sort of compromise now that Nancy Pelosi is going to be speaker and Chuck Schumer is the minority leader in the Senate. So Trump, you know, said he wanted to reason with them, you know, make sort of a deal. We need to secure our borders. And so the report you may have heard is, you know, we know that President Trump is like really dumb, right? He's just dumb. He doesn't understand it. He lies all the time. He doesn't know what he's talking about. That's, you know, that's what people are hearing all the time. So I thought it would be a really good thing for you to actually hear your president talking with Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, the real conversation, not just a little clip pulled out, and see what you think about what the real truth here is in the difference in their positions. Here's President Trump on Wednesday morning, or maybe it was Tuesday, with Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. Here it is.
The wall will get built. A lot of the wall is built. It's been very effective. I asked for a couple of notes on that. If you look at San Diego, illegal traffic dropped 92% once the wall was up. El Paso, illegal traffic dropped 72%, then ultimately 95% once the wall was up. In Tucson, Arizona, illegal traffic dropped 92%. Yuma, it dropped illegal traffic 95 to 96%. I mean, and that when I say dropped, the only reason we even have any percentage where people got through is because they walk and go around areas that aren't built. It dropped virtually 100% in the areas where the wall is. So, I mean, it's very effective. If you really want to find out how effective a wall is, just ask Israel. 99.9% effective. And our wall will be every bit as good as that, if not better. So we've done a lot of work on the wall. A lot of wall is built. A lot of people don't know that. A lot of wall is renovated. We have walls that were in very bad condition that are now in A1 tip-top shape. And frankly, some wall has been reinforced by our military. Our military has done a fantastic job. So the wall will get built, but we may not have an agreement today. We probably won't. But we have an agreement on other things that are really good. Nancy, would you like to say something?
Well, thank you, Mr. President, for the opportunity to meet with you so that we can work together in a bipartisan way to meet the needs of the American people. I think the American people recognize that we must keep government open, that a shutdown is not worth anything, and that you should not have a Trump shutdown. You have the White House, the Trump shutdown. You have the White House. You have the Senate. You have the House of Representatives. You have the votes. You should pass it.
No, we don't
right
have
now.
The votes, Nancy, because in the Senate we need 60 votes.
No, but in the House.
And we don't
you
have.
You could bring it up right now
yeah, but
today.
I can't. Excuse me. but I can't get it passed in the House if it's not going to pass in the Senate. I don't want to waste time.
Well, the fact is, you can get it started that way.
House we could get passed very easily,
okay,
and we do. But the
it.
Problem is the Senate, because we need 10 Democrats to vote,
no,
and
that's
they
not
won't
the
vote.
Point, Mr. President. The point is that there are equities to be weighed, and we're here to have a conversation in a
Correct.
Prayerful way, so I don't think we should have a debate in front of the press on this. But the fact is, the House Republicans could bring up this bill, if they had the votes, immediately, and set the tone for what you want.
If we thought we were going to get it passed in the Senate, Nancy, we would do it immediately. We'd get it passed very easily in the House.
Yeah,
we would get it, Nancy, I'd have it passed in 2 seconds. It doesn't matter, though, because we can't get it passed in the Senate because we need 10 Democrat votes.
Well,
that's the problem.
Again, let us have our conversation, and then
that's
we can
right.
meet with the press again. But the fact is that legislating, which is what we do,
right.
you begin, you make your point, you state your case. That's what the House Republicans could do if they had the votes. But there are no votes in the House, a majority of votes, for a wall, no matter where you start.
All right. So that was all right. That's the marker. And the point I want to make here is when Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer went outside the White House after this meeting, they claimed the president he's a liar. He doesn't know what he's talking about. It's just a ridiculous thing. All he wants to do is brag about shutting the border down. So I want you to hear what he actually said, because I think it's not quite that. And the interesting thing is you heard twice in that conversation, if you caught it, that Nancy Pelosi is complaining about the press being there. Let us have our conversation and then we'll bring in the press. I don't think it's appropriate for us to have this conversation with the press around. That's what she says. And then he speaks up and says, no, it's transparency. This is transparency, Nancy. And all of those stats he gave about what was happening in San Diego and the borders, those he did from the top of his head. He wasn't reading off of a sheet. The problem is that the American people are seeing President Trump through the grid, through the lens of the press. It's what the press says. It's sound bites. It's moments that they catch his face. This you can relate to. Girls, you can relate to this. I'll pick on you for a second. You're in high school, and there's a group of girls, half a dozen, that are getting acquainted or have already been friends, and you're maybe entering that group. And so there's one girl that's kind of quiet, or maybe she isn't quiet, but the girl that you happen to be talking to hates that particular girl, but you don't know that. So you just ask, tell me about Mary. What's she like? She hates her parents. She lies. What you don't know is that the girl who's giving you the background on Mary hates Mary. So you may see Mary across the room and have a few casual remarks with her, but you begin to see Mary through the grid of the girl that can't stand her. And that's what's happening. The American people are seeing President Trump through the grid of what the press wants them to think. They want them to think, first of all, he's stupid, he lies, he only cares about himself, I'll just pick those three. Oh, and he's a misogynist. He's a racist. We could have a lot of things. That's what the press wants you to think. And so everything they present, every tagline, in fact, it was amazing to me how Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi were able to go out from this meeting and claim it was something it absolutely was not. And I'll just make the case by playing this for you. We're going to play the rest of it, actually. I'm going to play almost the entire conversation or exchange between them, which took place Tuesday morning and the White House, because I want you to hear for yourself who your president is. And if you think he's stupid, he doesn't understand the legislative process, Nancy Pelosi is going to have to explain it to him, and Chuck Schumer. And if you're going to see if he gleefully wants to shut down the government for no good reason, because that's what they're claiming, it's propaganda, and I'll prove it. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
We'll be right back. Hey, I'm Brant. So there's this guy named Jordan. He's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. And he goes to the doctor, true story, he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage four. And here's the thing. He had switched earlier from medical insurance to MediShare, where Christians share each other's medical bills. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this actually going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. So if you want to find out more, here is a number for you. 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
Hi, this is Steve Tiber with 8 Days of Hope. We've seen God open up so many doors for us to help serve and love those who get affected by a natural disaster.
As the trees and the wind started crashing down around us, my wife was, of course, very diligently praying, you know, Lord, please be with us.
Very simply, we do it because God commands us to love others.
I see these volunteers all as a gift from God.
And I'm just grateful they're here, you know, helping out. It's a blessing.
If you're interested in becoming a part of what God's doing through 8 Days of Hope, please go to 8daysofhope.com, click on Get Involved, submit your email address.
I've noticed that whenever there's a time in my life when things might be a little gloomy, the number one thing that I can do is to go serve somebody.
And I would encourage anyone else to, it's worth it. Come out and do it next time if you didn't make it to this one. And the Father will really bless you in it.
Thank you so much for your prayers and volunteering with 8 Days of Hope.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Paul Kizito. I'm a junior biology major here at Truett McConnell, and I came from Uganda. What I love about TMU is number one is the heart of, you know, of just the school and the love for God, for Christ. You can see it once you step on the campus. Like, you can see it's best, like, the foundation for TMU is Christianity.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
I have long suspected that given the opportunity, Democrats would seize the opportunity to limit free speech. Consider what California Congressman Ted Lieu said just the other day on CNN.
I would love to be able to regulate the content of speech. The First Amendment prevents me from doing so.
I want you to hear his remarks one more time.
I would love to be able to regulate the content of speech. The First Amendment prevents me from doing so.
It's troubling to hear such un-American language, especially coming from an elected lawmaker. But the reality is we must fight for our freedoms every single day. We cannot take anything for granted. Consider a 2015 Pew study that found 40% of millennials support a limit on free speech. And remember the words of President Reagan, freedom is just one generation away from extinction. I'm Todd Starnes.
Merry Christmas from American Family Radio and Sandy Rios in the Morning. Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Between 2010 and 2012, there were 55,000 illegal immigrants into Israel. The Israeli government made a decision that they were going to build a wall, a high-tech steel wall on the southern border. 2016, there were 11 illegal immigrants who entered Israel. And then they raised the height of the wall an additional several feet. And in 2017, there was not one illegal immigrant that made it through the southern border into Israel.
That was the former mayor of Shiloh, Israel, David Rubin. Just thought I'd share that with you. That was on Fox just this morning. I think he appeared on one of the shows just last night. The president, of course, in his discussion with Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, they kept telling him a wall will not make a difference. In fact, you probably haven't heard that on the news, so we're going to play it. Let's play this next clip. This is President Donald Trump meeting with Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer on Tuesday to try to negotiate, my fingers are holding up the quotation marks, about securing the southern border. Let's listen.
If I needed the votes for the wall in the House, I would have them in one session, would be done.
It
doesn't help because we need 10 Democrats in the Senate.
No, don't put it on the Senate. Put it on the negotiation.
Okay, let me ask you this, and we're doing this in a very friendly manner. It doesn't help for me to take a vote in the House where I will win easily with the Republicans. It doesn't help to take that vote because I'm not going to get the vote of the Senate. I need 10 senators. That's the problem.
You have the White House. You have the Senate.
I have the White House. The White House is done. And the House would give me the vote if I wanted it. But I can't because I need, Nancy, I need 10 votes from Chuck.
Let me just say one thing. The fact is, you do not have the votes in the House.
Nancy, I do. And we need border security.
Nancy, we'll find out.
Nancy, we need border security. It's very simple.
Of course we do.
We need border security. People are pouring into our country, including terrorists. We have terrorists. We caught 10 terrorists over the last very short period of time. 10. These are very serious people. Our border agents, all of our law enforcement has been incredible what they've done. But we caught 10 terrorists. These are people that were looking to do harm. We need the wall. We need, more important than anything, we need border security, of which the wall is just a piece. But it's important. Chuck, did you want to say something?
Here's what I want to say. We have a lot of disagreements here. The Washington Post today gave you a whole lot of Pinocchios because they say you constantly misstate how much the wall is built, how much of the wall is built, and how much is there. But that's not the point here. We have a disagreement about the wall, whether it's effective or not. Not on border security, but on the wall. We do not want to shut down the government. You were called 20 times to shut down the government. You say, I want to shut down the government. We don't. We want to come to an agreement. If we can't come to an agreement, we have solutions that will pass the House and Senate right now and will not shut down the government. And that's what we're urging you to do. Not threaten to shut down the government because
you don't want to shut down the government
because you can't get your way.
The last time you shut it down, you got killed.
Let me say something, Mr. President. You just say, my way or we'll shut down the government. We have a proposal that Democrats and Republicans will support to do a CR that will not shut down the government. We urge you to take it.
And if it's not good border security, I won't take it.
It is very good border security.
And if it's not good border security, I won't take it.
It's what the
Because when you look at these numbers of the effectiveness of our border security, and when you look at the job that we're doing with our military...
You just said it is effective.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah, you just said
without a wall, these are only... areas where you have the walls.
We want to do
where
this.
You have walls, Chuck, it's effective. Where you don't have walls, it is not effective.
All right, so that's the president. Where you have walls, it's effective. And you have Nancy sort of, what they're trying to do, of course, is brand. They are scared to death of a government shutdown because they caused one over the wall. Remember what, sometime in this year? I'm sorry, I can't remember the date. And Chuck Schumer did get blamed for the shutdown. And quickly, like within 24 hours, 48 hours, they started the government up again, and he caved. And so he took the heat, Chuck Schumer did, the last time the government was shut down. And that's why he doesn't want one. And of course, they want to make that the issue. And what they're trying to do in this conversation is transfer blame to President Trump if the government shuts down. But he sort of surprises them. In fact, I think he just surprised them completely with this meeting, honestly. And so this is what the next part of the conversation unfolded to be. Let's listen.
Let's call a halt to this. We've come in here as the first branch of government, the Article One, the legislative branch. We're coming in good faith to negotiate with you about how we can keep the government open.
We're going to keep it open
American,
if we have border security. If we don't have border security, Chuck, we're not going to keep it open.
We are going to have border security.
And it's the same what you're bragging about what has been done. We want to do the same thing we did last year, this year. That's our proposal. If it's good then, it's good now, and it won't shut down the government.
Chuck, we can build a
but
much bigger section
let's
with
debate,
more money.
Let's debate in private. Okay? Yeah, let's debate in private.
That is devoid, frankly, of fact, and we can discuss.
We need border security, and I think we all agree that we need border security.
Yes.
Is that right?
Do.
Good.
We do.
See? We get along. Thank you, everybody.
You say border security and the wall. Can you have have border security without the wall. There's a commonality on border security.
The wall is a part of border security.
Are you redefining what it means to have border security?
Yeah, we need border security. The wall is a part of border security. You can't have very good border security without the wall.
That's not true. That is a political promise. Border security is a way to effectively honor our responsibility.
And the experts say you can do border security without a wall, which is wasteful and doesn't solve the problem.
It totally solves
but
the
I
problem.
But I don't want to take this. Unfortunately, this has spiraled downward when we came at a place to say, how do we meet the needs of American people who have needs? The economy has, people are losing their jobs, the market's in a mood. Our members are already
left. We have the lowest unemployment that we've had in 50 years.
60 people of the Republican Party are losing their offices now because of the transition. People are not, the morale
is
not
up. Nancy, we gained in the Senate. Excuse me, did we win the Senate? We won the Senate.
When the president brags that he won North Dakota and Indiana, he's in real trouble.
When
I did.
Let me say this.
We did win.
Let me say this.
North Dakota.
This is the most unfortunate thing. We came in here in good faith. And we are entering into a discussion in the public view.
But it's not bad, transparency.
I know it's not transparency when we're not stipulating to a set of facts, and when we want to have a debate with you about saying we confront some of those facts without saying
what?
To the
we
public,
we need border security.
This
That's
isn't
what
true.
We're going to be talking about. Border security. If we don't have border security, we'll shut down the government. This country needs border security. The wall is a part of border security. Let's have a talk. We're going to get the wall built, and we've done a lot of wall already. It's a big section. It's a big part of it.
Is it everything that you need?
It's a big part of it. We need to have effective border security. We need a wall in certain parts. No, not in all parts, but in certain parts of a 2,000-mile border, we need a wall.
All right, so that's the president continuing that discussion. Just remember that, just the kind of a wrap-up of that, Senator Schumer said, we need to debate this in private. They're not comfortable with the press being there. Not comfortable at all. And the president says, no transparency. I think at least three or four different times they came up where they're saying, why is the press here? We need to talk about this privately. And President Trump says, no, we need transparency. And you will recall that Nancy Pelosi's been bragging about how the new House under her leadership will be completely transparent, which, of course, they don't say what's true. And then, of course, they accuse the president of lying all the time. Pelosi then added, this conversation is devoid of fact. Well, the president laid out all those facts. And as far as I can tell, the facts that he stated are facts. But, of course, he's a liar. And Chuck Schumer drove the same point home. This is the talking points, and this is the way they propagandize people. Then he talks about how the Washington Post has given you, 10 Pinocchios for the fact that you do not give the facts on what's happening at the border, after he just rattled off facts about what's happening at the border. And so then it was amazing when Chuck Schumer said, the president brags about winning North Dakota and Indiana. That's nothing to brag about. What does he mean by that? What could he possibly mean by that? So that North Dakota and Indiana, their senators don't matter? Those states don't matter? That's basically what he said. He is the minority leader. He works with senators from each of those states. But obviously to him, they don't matter. That was such an insult. It's pretty amazing. So President Trump says, no, we're talking in good faith. We are having a discussion. This is good, Nancy. We're having a discussion. And yeah, there'll be no government shutdown if we agree on border security. And what they're offering, you notice they say, what we're offering is going to solve the whole problem. You just won't listen. And you don't care about the needs of the American people because we have a solution. And their solution is $1.5 billion for the wall as opposed to $5 billion, which is what the president is asking for. So, and then none of that for building a wall. That would go to other things. That was the agreement they came to in the last funding bill. All right, so I want you to hear the last part of this exchange because really President Trump does change the conversation a little bit with this. Let's listen.
How much money?
We are doing it much under budget. We're actually way under budget on the areas that we've renovated and areas that we've built. I would say if we got If we got $5 billion, we could do a tremendous chunk of wall. Look, we have to have the wall. This isn't a question. This is a national emergency. Drugs are pouring into our country. People with tremendous medical difficulty and medical problems are pouring in, and in many cases, it's contagious. They're pouring into our country. We have to have border security. We have to have a wall as part of border security. And I don't think we really disagree so much. I also know that, you know, Nancy's in a situation where it's not easy for her to talk right now. And I understand that. And I fully understand that. We're going to have a good discussion, and we're going to see what happens. But we have to have border security.
Mr. President, please don't characterize the strength that I bring to this meeting as the leader of the House Democrats who just won a big victory.
Let me just say,
and that's why the country's doing so well. What the president is representing in terms of his cards over there are not factual. We have to have an evidence-based conversation about what does work, what money has been spent, and how effective it is. This is about the security of our country. We take an oath to protect and defend. And we don't want to have that mischaracterized by anyone. So let us have a conversation where we don't have to contradict in public the statistics that you put forth, but instead can have a conversation about what will really work and what the American people deserve from us at this uncertain time in their lives where they have apprehension.
One thing I think we can agree on is we shouldn't shut down the government over a dispute. And you want to shut it down. You keep talking about it.
The last time, Chuck, you shut it down.
No.
And then you opened it up very quickly. And
20 times.
I don't want to do what you did.
20 times, Chuck, you have called for, I will shut down the government if I don't get my wool. None of us have
you
said.
You want to know something?
You've said
okay,
it.
Okay, you want to put that
you've
on my...
You've said it.
I'll take it.
Okay, good.
You know what I'll say? Yes. If we don't get what we want, one way or the other, whether it's through you, through a military, through anything you want to call, I will shut down the government.
Okay,
absolutely.
Fair enough.
And
we
I am
disagree.
Proud, and I'll
we
tell
disagree.
You what, I am proud to shut down the government for border security, Chuck, because the people of this country don't want criminals and people that have lots of problems and drugs pouring into our country. So I will take the mantle. I will be the one to shut it down. I'm not going to blame you for it. The last time you shut it down, it didn't work. I will take the mantle
good.
Of shutting down.
That is
and I'm
going to
shut it down for border security.
But we believe you shouldn't
okay.
shut it down.
But
you,
the thank you very much, everybody.
All right, so that was the amazing press conference that took place. It was a meeting that the press covered and the press took part in. That was pretty amazing, I think. And the president really, really twisted things when he looked at Schumer and said, okay, I'll take responsibility. I am willing to shut the government down and take the heat to get border security. And that really threw them. And so it was amazing. That's your president. That's this dumb, misogynist, racist president who doesn't know what he's doing, who can't get his facts straight. And Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi, those are the ones. Those are the people that we need to be trusting because they are so very trustworthy. And after all, they're going to give $1.5 billion to border security, just not to a wall. They're going to hamstring whatever building takes place because they don't really want to secure the wall. They've proven that. And I would say Republican leaders have proven the same thing. We've said that many, many times. But still, the president is intent on doing this. And I think, the last time when I was on the air Tuesday, I have said in the last few days, I've admitted to you my personal discouragement. Because of the 2018 midterm results and the stealing of the election, ignoring of election laws, of polling rules. It's just been amazing. It's like we're watching this whole, our country being stolen from us, and we feel helpless to prevail. And I feel like the beating that President Trump has taken is taking is just, who can bear that? And I have sensed that he's been down, and I worry that he can't survive this, even just as a person, just the emotional stress of it, and for his family. But honestly, I was amazed. Tuesday morning, man, he dug down deep, and he found his courage again, and he has not stopped fighting. And so, you know what? We can't stop fighting either. And so let me tell you that if you want to just sign a petition, that's one thing you can do. There'll probably be some more things in the next few days, but buildwallnow.org, buildwallnow.org. Sign that petition and let your voice be heard. At least you can do that. That's something simple, not very time consuming, and some way that you can weigh in and support. And I have to say, this is a nonpartisan issue. It has nothing to do with being a Republican. I don't think the Democrats or the Republican leadership is representing the American people. They're not protecting us. The president wants to protect his people. He's trying to do that. Let's help him. BuildWallNow.org. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. In an interview with Ben Shapiro, Pastor John MacArthur said while his views on hot-button issues like homosexuality are controversial, his goal as a pastor is to offend everyone, because any brand of Christianity that is inoffensive isn't Christianity at all. The initial goal is confronting man's sinfulness, to tell mankind that it is lost without God in the world and that there is only one Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Confronting and offending sin is necessary to point the way to the cross.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. Brett Kavanaugh is on the Supreme Court because of pro-lifers. It was the pro-life community that leapt to his defense when false and slanderous accusations were flung at him in the confirmation process. We fought for him privately and publicly. If it were not for us, he'd be running a traffic court somewhere. And the first chance he gets to pay us back, he lets us down abysmally. Kavanaugh joined the liberal majority to vote against the right of states to defund Planned Parenthood. As bizarre as it seems, Justice Kavanaugh cast his first vote on the abortion issue in favor of Planned Parenthood and against the babies Planned Parenthood wants to kill. Justice Thomas all but accused him by name of being intimidated by fear of the nation's largest abortion provider. Let's hope he gets his mind right on unborn babies in a hurry.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
Here's Walker Wildman for Redeem Clean Laundry Products.
Not only do you get a great product and you get to obviously clean your clothes, get the stains out and use the multi-surface cleaner to clean your countertops and use the dryer sheets, you're doing all of this and the money's going to support the work of American Family Association.
Redeem Clean Laundry Products were developed by AFA supporters Len Ingram and Jim Duncan to assist in funding the mission of the American Family Association. Redeem Clean products work as well as or better than other products on the market. They're environmentally safe, biodegradable, and they're made right here in the United States.
The great thing about Redeem Clean is not only is the product great, but it goes to support a great cause, and that is the work of American Family Association.
For clean laundry and a cleaner society, it's Redeem Clean. Visit redeemclean.afastore.net.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. In the annals of the U.S. Navy, there have been few more colorful, salty, and accomplished sailors than Admiral James Ace Lyons. Alas, his passing this week brought to a close a lifetime of extraordinary public service both in and out of uniform. In his recent book, Oceans Ventured, former Navy Secretary John Layman credited Admiral Lyons with helping President Ronald Reagan use naval power to decisive effect in the Cold War with the Soviet Union, all without firing a shot. I had the privilege of working closely with Admiral Lyons in the years after he left active duty. He served as the chairman of our Center for Security Policy's Military Committee. In that capacity, the former Commander-in-Chief Pacific Fleet brought to bear the extraordinary intellect and strategic vision for which he was renowned in the Navy. We will sorely miss him. Godspeed, Admiral Lyons. This is Frank Affney.
Merry Christmas from American Family Radio and Sandy Rios in the Morning.
Hallelujah!
I'll tell you, when I hear that song, my heart just leaps, because I think of how the power of God and the message of the gospel transcends and cuts through all of the junk we live and deal with every day in this human life that we face, whether it's government or our personal problems. There is power in God, and it's eternal. And I think about that song, for some reason made me think about the moment my mother died. My sister called me, and I remember I burst out laughing. It was totally involuntary. I just sensed, because my mother was such a strong believer in Jesus, I knew where she was. And she was released from that body, and it was over, and she was singing hallelujah and praising God in his presence. It was just thrilling. I thought of that just as Frank was talking about Admiral Ace Lyons dying this week. You know, Admiral Lyons was a guest on this show more than once. He was in his 90s, brilliant man. I had the opportunity to be around him many times and to hear his stories and to hear his wisdom. Just a week ago, we gave him an award in D.C. For his service to this country. He was writing and working. I don't know if Admiral Lyons, I don't know exactly what, he's maybe 94, 95. He was still writing, still speaking, still advocating for this country and for what was right and wrong. I really do sense, I never ask him, so I can't say this with assurance, but I sort of think that Admiral Lyons must have had a strong commitment to God. Otherwise, people don't hardly ever have such a passion on the moral issues as he did, as he watched his beloved military being destroyed by political correctness and social experimentation. And so he really will be missed, but I just feel like probably Admiral Lyons is with my mother on his knees singing hallelujah before the Almighty God. That's really what I think. So I join Frank in saying, rest in peace, Admiral Lyons. You will be so missed. Okay, so I've lots to tell you, and I'm going to see if I can just tell you really important things in a short amount of time. All right. You know that Michael Cohen got 3 years in prison. He wept in the courtroom. It's sad, you know. You see his wife and his two kids. I don't care how corrupt he allegedly is and accordingly must be, or how undependable and what prevaricator, I guess is what I'm trying to say. He is, he's a family man, and obviously his family loves him, and this has got to be a very sad time. So that doesn't make me feel good. He's going to be having 3 months before he goes into prison. And, of course, the special prosecutor, Robert Mueller, is, I think, trying to squeeze every bit of blood out of the turnip that he can. So who knows what Michael Cohen's going to say, because he doesn't seem to be given to telling the truth. That's what the document against him says, that he just he blames other people. He does not take responsibility. He's going to prison not for any Russian collusion. He's going to prison because of tax violations, IRS difficulties, and this alleged campaign violation of paying Stormy Daniels and Linda McDougal, or McDougal, her last name is McDougal, money to for non-disclosure agreements about their alleged contacts, a relationship with Donald Trump. Now, Hans von Spakovsky is an election expert and a frequent guest of ours, has written a whole article, which I can't go into, but he says that there was no violation of campaign finance laws by Michael Cohen or by President Trump. And Hans goes through a great, long explanation. He's not the first person I've heard say this. Another election law expert wrote about it just a few days ago. It's a real stretch to say that this is a campaign violence. They claim that this was done so that President Trump could win the 2016 election. But, of course, we know that these non-disclosure agreements are common among wealthy men when people try to want to do tell-alls. Or if you've ever worked for Oprah Winfrey, I know I have a good friend that worked for her for a long time. She was a producer, and you can't say anything. You have to sign a non-disclosure agreement about everything that you know. This is common, and if you break that agreement, then you have to pay. So this is what happened, and I agree with Hans. I think they're going to be hard pressed. Now, whether the public to actually charge the president with campaign violation, that doesn't mean they're not going to smear him with this information. But in terms of being technical violation of campaign finance law, there's a lot of precedent to say that's not likely to take place. On the Michael Flynn issue, this is amazing. The FBI has published it's released the actual details of what took place with General Flynn. Sorry, trying to hurry, and this is what happens when I try to hurry. So let me just read this to you. The document outlines, with striking new details, the rapid sequence of events that led to Flynn's sudden fall from the Trump administration. The filing also seemingly demonstrates that the FBI took a significantly more aggressive tack in handling the Flynn interview than it did during other similar matters, including the agency's sit-downs with Hillary Clinton and ex-Trump advisor George Papadopoulos. Basically, I'm just going to tell you this. I'd be quicker than reading it. Andrew McCabe calls General Flynn. General Flynn was in the White House, and he says, hey, we need to talk to you about a couple of things. Can we come over? Not telling General Flynn that this was serious business, that they were going to ask him about his contacts, his conversation with Ambassador Kislyak from Russia, advising him not to have White House counsel because it would take too long and be complicated. And Flynn agreed, and he thought they were just having a friendly conversation. He'd worked with the FBI before, and they'd been working to set the White House up. They come into the office. It's Peter Strzok and another agent, and they basically start grilling him. He has no attorney. He has a memory lapse. Both agents, or at least one of them, said when in their 502, I think it's the 302 filing, that they didn't think Flynn had lied. And yet somehow Robert Mueller came to the conclusion that General Flynn had lied to the FBI. It turns out when you compare the way the FBI under James Comey handled the Flynn interview with the way he handled Mrs. Clinton's interview, remember that famous interview where they had like nine agents in there and where Lisa Page said, be careful now, don't be too hard on her because she might be the next president and you don't want to offend her. Basically, that's what they said, and they allowed she did lie to them. In fact, some of the agents remarked about some of her responses and said, I filed that in the bucket of hard to impossible to believe based on some of her answers. So according to the 302, Flynn in his interview was relaxed and jocular. He gave the agents a little tour of his West Wing office. McCabe reportedly testified later that the agents, after speaking with Flynn, didn't think he was lying. And that would include Peter Strzok. But somehow, magically, he has been accused of lying to the FBI. But now the latest wrinkle on this is that, by the way, could I reiterate, he had every right to talk to Ambassador Kislyak. He was, after all, the National Security Advisor to the president incoming. He had every right to talk to him. The illegal act in this was wiretapping and releasing the transcript of Michael Flynn's private discussion on a White House phone with the ambassador. That is the issue that the FBI, the Justice Department, has failed to find out who did that, who leaked it. It's not that hard. That was a crime. General Flynn did not commit any crimes, no matter what they say, except this alleged lying to the FBI. So Judge Emmett Sullivan, who is overseeing this case, has now said that he wants expanded information. He wants to see the actual notes. And he's directing the special counsel to provide all the documents created by the FBI surrounding the Flynn interview. So not so fast. We'll see what happens with that. Okay, I want to just as best I can get into some of the email and Facebook posts that you have been sending our way. And again, thank you. Always, I love hearing from you, and I do read them, even though I can't, of course, mention them all on air, and I certainly can't respond to them privately. I'm sure you understand that. I wish I could. This is from Vanessa, who is a lieutenant colonel. She said, a retired. I'm a U.S. Army military retiree after 26 years of honorable service. I listen to your show every chance I get and encourage my friends and colleagues to listen as well. I'm a big fan of American Family Radio. I see it as the city on the hill of what all media has to offer listeners today. AFR is what I believe to be the final frontier. I really appreciate your honesty, your Christian worldview, and your show. What a beautiful thing to say, Vanessa. That's just really a great gift. And I'm going to share that with the other staff because I think they'll be encouraged by those wonderful remarks. This is from, okay, I'll try to do this one quickly. I think the name is pronounced Rosera. It's on our Facebook page, and she says some very nice things. She's enjoying listening to the show, but then she said, I'm taking time to write immediately after your discussion on the New York Times article and the left supposedly gushing over the late President Bush. I watched the entire burial and was touched. Here's what you said that was shocking, that George Bush was a friend of the left. Seriously, I didn't know being a friend to people unlike us is in beliefs or whatever is now a sin. I thought that's what you're supposed to do as believers, love your enemies. Please help yourself and your audience understand the difference between standing against sin and even policies we disagree with and yet being agreeable. And yes, friends with those who hold those positions. Okay, I'm glad you asked me that question. And let me first say a couple of things. Sarah, I'm glad you watched the entire burial and was touched. I think it was a very moving occasion. Anything I said about George Bush, about his background, that I believe is true, does not take from that. It was a time of national mourning. It was a time to remember country and remember his great service. And it was time to remember God, most of all, who was honored at that service. I'm not indicating in any way that you shouldn't have done that or all of us shouldn't have done that. When I said we're talking about terms here that are, I understand this is causing a confusion. You're thinking of friend. When I said George Bush was a friend to the left, you're thinking of friend like Jesus was a friend to sinners, and that we should be friends to sinners. And it's absolutely true. When I say that phrase, I'm speaking politically. Yes, you're right. It's a different use of the word. When I say that George Herbert Walker Bush was a friend to the left, I mean that he helped advocate and advance their policies. I don't mean that he had coffee with them and was friendly. I'm talking about the fact that he partnered with them on things like Roe versus Wade, on global warming, on outcome-based education, which is a disaster, on big government and other things. He was a friend to them in that he advanced their policies, not in the way you're speaking of, not in the spiritual sense. And you're right, and I'm glad you asked me so I could clarify that. This is, let's see now. This is important. This is Hermania. This is very disturbing. She said, I got this email for children from Children's Hospital in Richmond. Basically, when your child turns 13, as a parent, I would have very limited view to my child's medical record. At 13, my child can't drive, can't vote, and mostly can't vote, but has the legal right to have information with help from the parent who is paying for the medical care he or she receives. This is outrageous. And this is what they said to her. On December 12th, we will finally be able to bring all adolescents back into the patient portal. Our electronic medical record is now able to offer different views of the chart to patients and their parents. In keeping with the patient privacy laws of the Commonwealth of Virginia, we will offer parents messaging in very limited view, and patients will have messaging and the full view of their chart. If you're receiving this email and have not had access to the portal since your child turned 13, then you and your child will now be able to register. If you have already had access to your teen's chart, then you will notice a decrease in the information visible to you after December 12th. That access was historically granted to the parents of family of children with severe cognitive limitations. This is too long, but you get the drift of it. Your kids, age 13, will now be able to access their information, but you will not. And I have to say, Anya, I saw some of this starting when my son was in school. He was in wrestling. He took a drug test, which I didn't. My son was never in drugs, but I still would want to know the results, and they would not release them to me. He was 15 years old. They would not release the drug results because of his privacy, concerns about his privacy. And this is all coming out of this international movement of the rights of the child, even the rights to be sexually active as young as 12. The center of this, the core of this, is absolutely abjectly evil. It was something Hillary Clinton. The rights of the child was one of the issues she championed. You just have no idea how wicked this has been for such a very long time. But now you're seeing it. We have another parent whose child was given, Teresa, her child is given reading 13 Reasons Why, and she knows about it because of listening to AFR, and she's very upset. She's worried that they're taking the innocence away. This would be Gregory Portland High School in Portland, Texas. A heads up to all of you parents down there. You can still have autonomy over your children, so I would suggest you get involved in that. And there's more, of course. Always there's more. But thank you so much for being my friend, participating with me. We're in this together. By the way, buildwallnow.org. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.